Many thanks, Stan. Thank you to Stan and to Paul and Ufe and to the first Fortnite Festival for having us here. Geraldine and I have read separately in previous festivals for First Fortnite, so it was really great to get a chance to be here and do it together. Just in case anyone that doesn't know this and they think that we've broken our social bubble for the sake of a poetry reading, don't worry. Geraldine and I are married. We do live together. We're not breaking any laws. Don't shop us to the police. So folks, I'm going to start off. I'm going to read some poems from old book, The X of Y. I have to say, I haven't been feeling too great recently. It was a little bit touch and go, actually, whether I would be able to do this read or not, but it's okay. My doctor has written me a prescription. I've taken it, and it's all great. And if it's okay with you, I would like to share that prescription with you. Please read all of this poem carefully before you start taking poetry. Keep this poem. You may want to read it again. Recommended dosage. Take at least once daily or as required. Do not skip doses or discontinue use unless directed by your local poet. What poetry is and what is used for. Poetry belongs to a group of medicines called literature or literary art. It works by enlivening the brain and embodying the soul, taking other medications. You may continue to take poetry while taking other medications, such as prose, drama, music, dance, and or visual art. Driving and using machinery. Poetry may make you feel extraordinary. Do not operate heavy machinery while under the influence of poetry. If you take more than you should, it is not possible to overdose on poetry. If you forget to take poetry, if you forget a dose, make up for it as soon as you can. In emergency situations, please refer to an anthology. Possible side effects. Warning. Side effects that may occur while taking poetry include wider imagination, inspiration, education, wonder, enlightenment, euphoria, the prockification of thoughts, the stirring of memories, intrigue, curiosity, late-night conversations, spontaneous fillings of notebooks, trips to the dictionary, knowledge and aversion of cliches, empathy, and an interest in online open mic nights. Some patients have reported an increased need to go to the library. If this symptom persists, please refer to your librarian. Contact your local poet immediately if you experience any of the following symptoms: ennui, apathy, discouragement, melancholy, woe. What poetry contains. The main active substances of poetry are language, rhythm, sound, metaphor, cadence, form, rhyme, simile, allusion, alliteration, enjoyment, and imagery. For a full list of ingredients, see a university professor. Storage. Store in a cool, dry bookcase. Once opened, you may continue to reuse poetry repeatedly. Expiration date? Never. Thank you. So that's a bit of a lighthearted start. The poems will get darker from here on in. we're here for First Fortnight, which obviously the theme of the festival is mental health. So some of the poems I've chosen to read tonight is going to have a mental health theme. Just by sheer coincidence, I was doing a mental health workshop in Mork today online with the Mind organization. Part of that was talking about suicide. So perhaps because of that, I've been thinking today about a friend of mine that we lost to suicide. And I think that if we want to challenge the stigma that's around people feeling suicidal and wanting to talk about openly and start saving lives, then we also maybe need to talk about the people that we've lost to suicide and not be ashamed to say that they took their own lives as well. So this poem is for my friend Lee. It's called Missed Flight. I have produced these dark grains of sand for you, taken from Ireland, that you might know a beach, Atlantic and Irish Sea. We have nothing of India, of Timor and Tasman. Forgive us. You won't be able to peel back the sellotape from the notepaper and inspect their surface. Salt and pepper constellations almost passing for gravel from outside my door. Listening to Fleet Foxes, your text pings an extra percussion, perfect timing. It says, when are you coming over? You promised. All these postcards full of vacancy. I should have left more fingerprints on you. Everywhere is now too far away. Thanks, folks. This next poem, I don't think I have ever read it out in public before, so this is an exclusive just for you guys. Wow. It's called Mountaineering. I don't know why I haven't read it before, but I try to throw in every once in a while kind of poem I haven't done in a while, just to try and keep myself sharp. Once you learn that grief cannot be shared, the mountain shrinks a little. Nowhere, her body, lost, frozen, unable to boast of adventure. Nowhere, a map left in an abandoned hut. The birds don't fly this far down. Your world is dizzy. Oxygen lost of taste, blows full of sleep, pitched in the same place for half a year, the rations blundered, months of snow forming bedrock, fix your guide ropes to its shell. The object is not to reach the top, but to drift down to the bottom and run free. I'm just concerting my little playlist. When I was younger, I used to have a reoccurring nightmare. That's maybe when I was about 6, 7, or 8, pretty young, still shared bunk beds with my twin sister. In the dream, I'm standing in a white room, completely bare. And in the room, I was in the center of the room, and on kind of opposing corners, there was a figure in a white robe and a figure in a black robe. And they held ropes, thick ropes. The black robed character was wearing a white rope and vice versa. And these ropes were tied to my feet. And in the dream, they would circle around me, and the ropes would certainly coil and start to wrap up my body and bind me tight, and starting to get to the mouth and cover my face. And that's when I woke up, freaked out. Never figured out what the hell the dream meant, but always remembered it. And maybe that was an early sign that I had some kind of anxiety disorder. I'm not sure. But this poem is about that, and it's called On Fear. When I tell you the story of the white robe and the black robe, the black rope and the white rope, and me in my night clothes, which each rope tied to my ankles. The story of two men silent in a white room with faces I cannot see. Robed men taller than I, who was a child, and each holding a rope, black rope for white rope for black rope. Two solid blocks of colour and me held in between, and how the room is large enough for the ropes to lie slack between their hands and my feet, for each to take a wide circle, two points on the same groove with myself as their centre, so that each rope spirals up my leg in an interweaving pattern of black, white, black, white, all carried out in silence. How those monochrome ropes grip limb and torso to leap up my frame until I held their bind at my throat and sweat comes out rope, stuffs out mouth, cancels the eyes until I jolt awake, screaming. And when I tell you all of this, you will dismiss this tale because you've never felt the scratch of any rope held by any man in any room on any of your black nights. Thanks. Gosh, when I read that, I get a little bit riled and I kind of get a bit tingly thinking about how that dream affected me when I was younger. Don't worry, I'm okay now. I've had years of therapy. I'm fine. Just because it kind of ties into it, I'm going to do a poem about sleep. Again, you know, for people out there who struggle with mental health, you know, probably you've experienced disruption in your sleep patterns, and certainly during COVID and lockdown. At the start of it last year, it took me a long time to kind of get used to it. Maybe it was only getting, you know, 2-3 decent nights sleep in like a month. It was crazy. A lot of my poems, earlier poems, I should say, kind of ran at that theme of late night, early morning insomnia. You know, what was going through your mind, what was happening in the world when you couldn't sleep. One of the later poems would be about that as well. This is just called The Outskirts of Sleep. Lie down this night and let your ribcage expand. Find contour with the bed and sneak breaths from under the rumpus of the day. 99% of people or whispering sorry into their pillows. The other 1% are sociopaths and are asleep before you are. Dreams can't reconstruct a damn thing. Only imagine the past into a weather less harmful. We won't wake up any drier under the new sun. I dreamt of a wooden chest that I drag around by a coat of chains, afraid to look inside in case I had already buried the treasure. I skipped ahead and coughed myself up before the alarm, so the night shuffled around me, saying it was sorry to still be here. I lay as a statue in the rain, my features slowly fading, forgetting how to sleep until the bird of exhaustion found a perch on my head. Why do you feel like this? The bird asked. I couldn't answer. My eyelids caved in, trying to needlepoint the light. So those are poems from The X of Y, a book that came out a few years ago. This is out of print at the moment, but I'm hoping to get a digital version online later in the year. I'm a great procrastinator. 6 minutes left. Okay, my goodness. So I'm going to be reading from the new book, The Dogs of Humanity, which came out with a Fly on the Wall Press. Big thanks to Isabel Kenyon, the publisher and owner, for putting this out. I'm going to read, I've got 6 minutes, so I'm probably going to have to cut one poem, but I'm going to read The Wolf and Its Howl, another one kind of a bit about late night and sleep. The wolf have been with us for a while now. It watches us during lovemaking, nibbles a corner of the bed sheet and drools on the linen. It eats from our table, never waiting for mere scraps, pleasing itself on the main meat. It's the kick in our bellies when we cramp over from greed, the silence of thought so large, providing a chisel to the nearest wall to transcribe our lone bestial wails. The wolf, it bleeds onto this rented household. I do not know how it achieved its wounds. Lupine mystery, we let it howl without a moon to show its teeth. We have no say in its lullaby. This one was written, I think, when we were originally in a performance group many years ago with some other Belfast-based poets, and it's based on Monopoly. Was Monopoly the prompt? I'm asking sure. Geraldine off screen, but she doesn't know. But I'm going to say Monopoly was the prompt for this poem. It's called Stages.
Oh, no, it was the Bukowski poem.
Okay. Back then, you would go through the stages. The first box, the hair sprouts, the growth spurts. Now, you just stage, pass and go, and pretend to hit all the required stations while collecting your paycheck at the end of the month. And the thing about a Monopoly board is that it's really a circle. And the only way out is either bankruptcy or jail. Sure, some of us get a land on Mayfair or Park Avenue, but most sure can't afford to stay there for very long. The rent collectors are out with their long knives, and the taxman is looking to take everything that you inherited, from your father's shoelaces to your mother's graces and charm. But I hid everything in a deposit box somewhere. I left it to rust and utilized nothing of my fortune. That's why I'm such a miserable bastard nowadays. The dregs of the dogs down to his last stage. There are no refunds, no guarantors, and no one is coming to underwrite your screw-ups. God is coming to collect, and the riches that he expects won't be found in your pockets. I'm going to close because I'm running out of time. This is the last poem in the book. Thank you very much for listening to myself. Geraldine O'Kane, ladies, she's pretty damn good as well. Big clap to her. Thank you very much for having us again. Sign up to the first fortnight mailing list. If this is your first time checking out Event, give Avail a like on Facebook. Check them out as well. Please support them. We've done maybe about like 100 open mics or so up in Belfast. They are like at 600 and something. It's just crazy. We feel like little poetry babies in comparison to them. So it's great to kind of experience this and be part of it. And thank you so much. This is a closing poem in The Dogs of Humanity, again, available from Fly on the Wall Press. The theme, you know, a lot of the poems tie into dogs and other animals, but this is about the most vicious animal of all, the human, called the humane animal. And again, it's about sleep. How many are dying tonight? How many tonight are listening to make sure that someone else is still breathing? The dark seconds of void when neither breath nor movement exist. And the other side of the bed is that unconquerable distance of a consciousness. How many can't sleep tonight? How many unable to lay, despite their blackout curtains drawn to the world, the futility of fresh sheets and lumbar support as useless as an alarm clock for insomniacs? And how many are scared tonight? How many want to burrow down into the nests like the newly hatched cuckoo and cry the loudest in order to be fed, waiting to be recognized as an imposter amongst the living? And how many are unanswered tonight? We all are. We all are. We all are. Thank you very much, folks. God bless you. Take care. Stay safe.